You always.
Amen. Today I'll be talking about life abundantly that I just read from you from the gospel reading. But first, I'd like to share with you a parable, which obviously you all know. Jesus had many parables as a story, from Pastor Jerry Schmallenberger's book, which is called Iowa Parables. So I'll share one of these parables in that book with you at this time. Today we go to central Iowa, to a little cottage up the valley of Honey Creek, about a half a mile from the Des Moines River. This is in Boone County, in 1881, the evening of July 6th. It began raining, a welcome rain in the hot, dry months of the summer in Iowa. The corn needed that welcome moisture, but then the rain came down hard and kept going and did not stop. And Kate Shelley and her brothers and sister watched the tiny Honey Creek become a raging river. Kate, who was only 15 at the time, feared whether the railroad bridge across the Honey Creek would hold against the flood of the fast-moving water, which was now filled with trees and logs and all sorts of other debris. Kate's father had been a section foreman for the railroad and had often told stories of how the dangerous flood waters could be to the railroad bridges. He, unfortunately, had died recently, but the memory of his stories lived on in Kate's mind. She decided to let the animals out of the barn so that they might find higher ground, just in case the creek would overflow and come into their tiny farm. Around 11 o'clock that evening, Kate heard the rumble of a train. It was the pusher, a switch engine stationed at Magona. It crashed into the Honey Creek bridge because that bridge would not hold. She knew the Midnight Express from the west, a passenger train, would be along soon. So Kate decided to see if she could help the crew of the pusher and try to stop the express. She started out, lantern in hand, into that frightful night, to do her duty as she saw it. Unable to give aid to the ill-fated crew, and knowing that the midnight train was soon due, she headed west towards saving the lives of the westbound train passengers. She had to cross that railroad bridge over to Des Moines, this in the black of this night. To attempt this in the black of night was a scary deed. Kate dropped to her knees and began crawling on all four across the long windswept trestle. She felt her way from tie to tie. A flash of lightning revealed an enormous uprooted tree coming down the river. Its limbs slapped her, and the water ran over her as she held on for dear life. At last, she felt that solid ground beneath her feet. She caught her breath, and then she ran to the station about a half mile away. The agent recognized her and knew her voice and listened carefully to her news. He blew the whistle of an engine in the yard, and men came running to see what was the matter. They heard about the crew in Honey Creek, and they went there to help. The agent flagged the westbound train, and Kate became the heroine of Boone County. She was honored throughout her life for this act of courage, daring and unselfish, giving in this time of danger and of need. Now, I don't know what kind of faith Kate Shelley had. I don't know what kind of relationship that she had with our Lord and Savior. But I would imagine that kind of courage had to come from somewhere. And I would like to believe that it came from her faith in Jesus. You see, this is what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson this morning that I just read for you. This is the prelude to the section about the Good Shepherd. Now, in this parable, this story that Jesus is talking about this morning, he is talking about himself as the door to the sheepfold. Jesus is saying to those that who enter through him that he is the gate, the door to the sheepfold. Others who enter in any way are thieves, and they are robbers. Then Jesus says that he will lead the sheep because he knows them by name. And because he knows them by name, the sheep will follow, and they will come out and go in and will find pasture. Now, I love this part of the text, that Jesus knows them by name, and they know his voice and they listen. I know, being in ministry for 29 years, one thing that I've found so true, there's a reason why Jesus claims us and he names us, because name is such an important part. And not only respect to that person, but to build a relationship with that person. That's what Jesus was all about. And I found out that if you don't get to know people by name, then sometimes they might not truly listen to you and know exactly who they're listening to if you don't build that relationship. And so names are so important. And then also in this text, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus is saying that through him, we may have life. And then we have it abundantly through Jesus. And what is that? A fulfilled life. A life not without sorrow or pain, but a life filled. Because we have Jesus as our guide leading the way. Remember, Jesus will lead us. And we will follow because Jesus calls us by name through our baptism. Again, remember, Jesus will lead us. And we will follow because Jesus calls us by name through our baptism. You see, Jesus leads and we follow. Now, tourists in Jerusalem notice something unusual about the sheep. Instead of being led by a man at the front of the group, they were being driven by a man from behind. Now, her curiosity was heightened as she was on this tour watching, and the traveler said to the guide, "Look at that shepherd. He is not leading the sheep. He is driving them and poking them and whipping them. I thought a shepherd was supposed to lead the sheep." "You're right," answered the guide. "A shepherd does lead his sheep. But that man there is not the shepherd. He is the butcher." You see, we can be driven by evilness in life to do all sorts of things that we think are great, but that we know we should not do. But Jesus, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus leads us to a full life in him. We go in and out of the sheepfold to find pasture, which I think means that Jesus leads us in life. And then we return to this place we are here this morning, the church here at Mold Lutheran, the sheepfold, to find comfort, rest, and renewal through worship and togetherness. But I think this morning that we need to be careful, lest we think that following Jesus will mean a life of roses. Now, he will try to lead us through all sorts of terrains in our life. But sometimes we might get hurt. We might get sick. Or go off on our own where we might get in trouble. Just like the prodigal son did. But yet, who was waiting for the prodigal son when he messed up and tried to do it his own? His father, and also Jesus. You see, life will not always be easy. And I think we all know that. But the thing that we need to remember this morning is to keep focused on Jesus leading us. And when we focus on Jesus, though we walk through valleys, over mountains, through seas, with our focus remaining on Jesus, it does not seem so bad, does it? Let me give you an example of this. Now, one of my all-time favorite movies, and I have a lot of them, I've watched a lot of movies, is Mr. Holland's Opus, starring Richard Dreyfuss. It's a story of a musician who just wants to be a composer. If you have not seen this movie, I encourage you to see it, but I'm not trying to be a spoiler alert here, but this is important to share with you this morning. Now, rather grudgingly, he takes a job teaching music at the local high school. We have a music teacher in our presence.
Thank you, Rob, for all you do.
Now, supposing that we'll give him time to write music while providing income for he and his wife, and eventually they have a child, he takes this job as a music teacher. Now, one of his students is very serious, red-headed girl, who plays the clarinet not good at all, even though she practices and practices and practices. Now, as Mr. Holland works with her to try to help, he learns that she is the youngest in the family, where everyone except her excels at whatever they do. Because she has tried so hard and failed, she considers herself a failure too. So one day she comes into the music classroom and tells Mr. Holland that she's going to give up. And if he knows anyone who wants her clarinet, he can give it to them. As she walks away, Holland asks her, "Is it any fun?" With a shrug, she answers, "I wanted it to be. You know what we've been doing wrong, Miss Lane? We've been playing the notes on the page." Confused, the girl asks, "Well, what else is there to play?" "There's a lot more to music than notes on the page. Playing music is supposed to be fun. It's about the heart. It's about feelings and moving people and something beautiful and being alive. And it's not about notes on the page. I can teach you notes on the page. I can't teach you that other stuff." So he takes away the music, tells her to close her eyes, and tells her to try it. She tries a time or two, each time coming to a point where her clarinet still squawks and squeaks. And she starts to kick herself for her failure. So Mr. Holland says, "What do you like best about yourself?" With a shy smile, the redhead girl says, "My hair. My dad says it reminds me of a sunset." Mr. Holland says, "Play that sunset." And she closes her eyes and she begins to play, really play. Not just the notes, but the music. She is so amazed, and she does the hard part perfectly that her eyes pop open and she stops. Mr. Holland shares her amazement, but he says, "Don't stop." And so on she plays, eyes closed, head beginning to sway with the rhythm of it. And we know that this time it is truly fun for her. Now Mr. Holland put her focus on something in her that was bigger than that. She was able to do more than that. She was able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than she could have asked or ever imagined. You see, she started playing music, not just notes on the page. Although she was playing the same notes, it became something bigger, something grand. And I think that's what it means this morning, to be led by Jesus. You see, life is grand. Life takes on a whole different meaning and a purpose. Sure, the rough parts will still be there, but somehow, through the risen Christ, we will be helped over those difficulties because of our true leader. Because Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We do have an abundant life through the risen Christ. If we will let him, he will lead us from the sheepfold for the pasture and then return again to gain strength and comfort what we are doing this morning, gathering together. And we can, through the risen Christ, have the courage of Kate Shelley or the courage of the red-headed girl who played for the sunset. So I leave you with this morning. Have an abundant life through Jesus and come here to church each week to be renewed and lead out again and again and again. Because God does not call us to just stay in our little protected place, but to be released into the pastures of our life. And knowing that Jesus is with us And when we are struggling, he will call us by name because he gives us life and he gives us that abundantly. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.